call.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the show that started it all, the FSP Shoot Show. I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again, 347-637-3220. We also have the chat room available if you'd like to do a question in there. Make a statement, comment, or do you're doing a chat room instead of talking to me or my guest, my surprise guest. And as soon as I finish my spiel here, I'll bring it on. You can do that on the chat room rather than talk to us. But we'd rather talk to you and get your a live opinion rather than put it in print in the chat room. But without further ado, let's continue the show and bring in my special guest, who happens to be the hostess with the mostest on this show, who started it all, the grandpappy, the pappy, whatever you want to call him, Mr. Vic Gardner. How you doing, man?
I'm living la vida loca. I saw the ratings and I was like, oh, no, but two people listening live just ain't gonna cut it. So it's time to make my reappearance. I had to find a way to come up with the show and spice it up, and I guarantee the live listeners will be in abundance.
Oh, boy.
The Rock. Sorry. Finally.
So you're telling me my appeal is not what it used to be? Is that what you're trying to tell me now?
I mean, the Cougars are gone, guy. The Cougars are gone. All those older 80-year-olds or 50-year-olds, they want this young 30, well, late 30s. They want the late 30s guy.
You think so, huh? You really think
so?
I
think so.
Can I tell you? So. You know what? It is what it is. I don't know. Maybe people have better things to do on a Saturday now because I still get the draw on Sunday, man. So I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Back, we'll see about that. With Kim coming back, we'll see about that.
Well, you never know. Hey, we'll see about that. She has a different format, and which appeals to a lot of people. You know, I'm not boasting or anything. I'm just saying I handed it to her. I shouldn't say handed it. She more or less took it. When she started her show, and I got to give it to her. I've listened to the show a few times. It's a very informative show, very compassionate, as she is, compassionate Dakini show. And she has a niche that people like to fall into, and you got to give it to her. She's one of those type of people that it's an it person that draws other people, so...
Well, here's the it for this show. I mean, I don't know what you had planned for today, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've been getting a little bit of trash talking to baseball leagues. You know, my team has seen – we're like the New York Yankees. You know, we're just falling apart before the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
I for sure want to cover some of those teams and whatever else you got because a lot of folks are going to listen in tomorrow and break down the rest of the league.
No, that's not a problem. I was going to do it today, but that's fine. I mean, I can do it today and do it tomorrow. It's no big deal. But what I really wanted to start off with is what's been going on. I said it on Thursday. I don't know if we didn't touch on it last night when we had our guest on. the March Madness. The madness that's happening in March, and this is the last 2 days of March, and the madness hasn't stopped. I don't know if you realize it or not. There, quite naturally, there are four brackets: Midwest, East, South, and Southwest,
whatever.
Midwest, West, East, and South. Four brackets, and each one of those brackets had 1-16. The way they seeded, or well, as of which we're speaking right now, there's only one number one seed left. Indiana went down.
Louisville.
Kansas went down. There's only one number, and Gonzaga went down real early. So there's only one number one seed left, and that's Louisville. And they seem like they're in probably the next opponent, which is tomorrow, is against who other than, and they seem to do it year after year, regardless of what bracket they're in and what kind of competition they go up against. For the most part, Duke, the ever despised, for the most part, Duke University, the Duke Blue Devils, always seem to say cream always rises to the top, and I hate to say it like that, but because I'm definitely not a Duke.
Huh?
What's that?
Poop floats as well.
Well, you should know.
I know you rose to the top last year, so you know.
Anyway, Duke is the number two seed, which I didn't think they were going to get through. To be able to even get to the Final Eight, or the Elite Eight, I should say. But they're going up against Louisville tomorrow early evening, and we'll see what happens between Louisville and Duke. That I'm very surprised that Duke got this far, but it is what it is. Over in the other brackets, the West bracket, that's where all the chaos really started early, because the 3 seed, the 4 seed, and the 5 seed got eliminated real quick, real early. The number 2 seed went up against the number 6 and just squeezed past them this last game, Arizona losing to Ohio State by 3 points, I think on a last-second three-pointer.
It was a long three.
Yes, well, it didn't make a difference if it was a short three or a long three. It went in. It went in. That's the bottom line. It went in. And they're going up against, I guess you would have to say this is a huge surprise team, Wichita State, which was the 9th seed in this bracket, in the West bracket. Now, we had talked about, Mr. Gardner, we had talked about this going right into the Final Four. I mean, not the Final Four, the March Madness, the actual tournament, that any team at any time could beat number 1 seed, number 2 seed. And I was really torn, and I don't know if I ever told you this before. I didn't fill my brackets out until less than an hour before the first game kicked off, the official first game of the 64. Because I was really torn whether I wanted to jump in to this tournament, the bracketology or whatever, because I thought, and I held true to what I thought, it would be absolute chaos, and it would be like pretty much senseless to pick a winner out of this garbage, because the talent and the level of play between the top team in whatever bracket you're talking about and the bottom team for whatever bracket you're talking about wasn't that far apart, and it has proven true. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I got in a little late as well, not because I didn't want to do it, but because I mean, what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But on several brackets, I had several different winners. Mainly all my winners came out of the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what you're talking about as far as the competition being somewhat equal from top to bottom, and you're right, it is. So it made for a better March Madness. I'll give an example. Like I had Michigan winning in one bracket. I had Ohio State winning in another, Indiana winning in another, Gonzaga winning in another. I had Louisville making it to the Final Four, and Wisconsin making it to the Final Four. I mean, the competition was very, very good, but I just thought the Big Ten was a lot better. And it turns out it's only one team left in the Big Ten. Two teams left out of the Big East, Louisville and Marquette.
Right.
Then you got Florida, who should represent the South. Now that, you know, everything is where it is, you've got South State coming out of nowhere, you know, being a number 9 seed. You know, look who they play. They play the 13 seed who upset a number 1 seed and a number 2
right.
seed.
Right.
You know, so the playing field is somewhat. Florida Gulf Coast is a school that they basically started their school to have a basketball team. You know, and now they were in the Sweet 16, played Florida very, very close. Their enrollment will probably go up. I was making a joke with a guy I was with last night, who I was watching the game with, and he said, you know, the best tickets right now in Florida Gulf Coast are $6. If they made it to the Final Four, tickets probably would have went up to like $68 or whatever because of the popularity of the school.
Right.
But that goes to show you that if you start a school and you're basing it off of the sports program and you recruit kids that can play ball, stay out of trouble, and get decent grades, you can start a I don't say a franchise. You can start a very strong program with the university. Just because people didn't hear about you, don't know about you, don't mean you're not any good. You know,
well,
VCU and Valparaiso and all those other small
right.
colleges, they're making their marks. Now their coaches are getting recruited by the big school coaches. I mean, big schools to take over. But, you know, the madness is the madness. That's why they call it madness.
Well, and the thing about it, and just to stay on Florida Gulf Coast for a minute, they transitioned, because I talked about this on, and we're going to bring another guest in, and you know who this is. They transitioned.
Pardon
my cousin. And call, wait, hold on a minute. Let me finish my point, and then I'll bring you in. They transitioned into Division I with all their sports into Division I. Into the NCAA Division I in 2011. So the sports that they had in Florida Gulf Coast, they had a transition period which completed in 2011, and the school's not that old. So you have to think that at least the basketball program may be 4 or 5 years old, if that. And it's amazing that this guy has gotten what he's gotten from this the team this year. I just have to wait and see if it was just an anomaly, it was just something unique that happened this year, or if is able to get him into the tournament next year and then have him win a couple of brackets like he's done this year. I have to wait and see how good Mr. The coach of Florida Gulf Coast can double that. And we got to guest right now, and let me bring him in. Long-time guest that I haven't heard from in quite a while on Saturday. He did happen to show up.
I told you
I'd
bring him out. I told you I'd bring him out, man. I'll bring him out.
I thought you was not going to be here. I thought this was going to be, you know, a nice and productive adult sports conversation. Come on here. I hear you talking about how you can exploit some more kids, just like the NCAA does, man. Get out of here, man.
You know what? Let me break it down, ladies and gentlemen. The person you listen to is my relative. He's my blood family. His name is Mikhail, the poet, if you didn't know it. And
boo.
Why you come on this show and disparage somebody? What's up with that?
He just did that to me, and it's my show. So how are you going to not defend me? But that's okay.
This is my show right now.
That's what I thought. I thought it was Jerry's show right now.
Don't let me find a way to come and take over the switchboard. I was coming in and find a way to take over the switchboard. But, no, what I'm saying is,
muted.
What I'm saying about this is, you look at the ability of the teams, and that's what Jerry was talking about, the ability of the teams that are here in March Madness, selected in the round of 64. The parity is that strong. And I was using Florida Gulf Coast as saying somebody decided they were going to start a university based off of sports. They're going to have criminology and all these other majors. They're going to get accredited, but their focus is a sports powerhouse. And the first thing they built was an arena, a sports arena for their basketball team. You know, so their goal was for a higher education facility. However, the emphasis was going to be on athletics. Now, is that right or wrong? You know, person that you know has a social conscience. For me, it says, okay, well, if you know the best way to generate money in your college is a strong athletics program, it's not a bad thing. But to say you're exploiting them, I don't know, because you're giving these kids. I'm using Florida Gulf Coast. Florida Gulf Coast now.
You don't think they're exploiting them?
You're giving these kids who weren't recruited by these big schools the opportunity to stand out on the big stage. Now.
You don't think that they're exploiting them? Okay.
What I'm saying is that this individual, whoever started school, his focus was to start a school, have athletics as its powerhouse cornerstone, and expand from there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it exploitation? Possibly. But at the same time, it brings.
Well, Mikel, are you saying that? Is it just this school when you say that, or are you making a blanket statement about any of these colleges?
They're exploiting.
All of them.
All of them. Because let's tell the truth, what's bringing in more money? The kids that's going to school, or the kids that's coming to the games and the television sponsorships and the Nike sponsorships? Really? Come on, man.
Well, you're right. We've got Florida Gulf Coast, who will now start to receive some of that. However, 4 or 5 years ago, that was not happening. They were getting kids and students there to get an education, but their cornerstone and their focus was to drive up revenue via their sports program. Now,
it doesn't hurt for them to have a beach in their backyard either.
No, ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, shoot, I'm about to go over here and rent me a little room down here, put in a couple of little rooms over here. You know, have a lecture here and a lecture there, and then do everything else online, and then we could start our own college. Yeah, University of Prince George's Community College. Mm-hmm. We could do that.
But the thing is, we're getting off the topic of the parity. But if you look at the caliber of kids you have at Florida Gulf Coast, as far as the basketball team goes, you'll say these are guys that will probably one or two star, not even two star, maybe one or half a star players in high school. They really didn't get the same look that like the kids at Ohio State, Indiana get. And so they offered these guys a scholarship. You'll get a degree. It's an accredited college. You know, you'll get a degree. You get a chance to play ball. And if you do very well, you'll get a little limelight. Now, next year, like Jerry said, you'll have we'll see if it's a flash in the pan or if it was real, because you'll have ESPN. You'll have all these other channels trying to get a game of, you know, whoever their top rival is, or if they play Miami again. Because they beat Miami, you know, and nobody knew who they were when they beat Miami. I mean, Florida, when they beat Florida during the regular season. Nobody knew who they were, but they beat Florida in the regular season. Then they come in and they beat Miami in the tourney. They beat Georgetown, and they beat Florida again. They barely lose to them. So, you know, it's the individual that developed this school, his market planning for the school and its sports program is working out because he will generate a higher revenue, especially with the University of Miami having its troubles, State not being what it used to be, even though the education is still stellar. You know, Florida is always going to be a powerhouse in that area. And you got all these other schools. So, I mean, I think it's smart. From a business aspect.
From a business aspect? Okay. Yeah. Okay. If you say so. I mean, I just have a problem. I just have a problem screwing over people to do, you know, to do business. You know what I mean? I have a business degree, and I can tell you right now that's straight exploitation. And everything that you talked about is nothing more than it sounded nothing more than modern day slavery, Slim. You was talking about this one got one star, this one got another look, and this and this and that, man. Really? Nah, man. Nah.
Well,
I
mean, you can equate that, Mikal, to all the colleges for one, and you can also equate that to any professional sport. So I mean, every one of them, they're getting paid millions of dollars, but it's nothing compared to what the actual team and league is getting.
Right. The only difference between the NFL and the NCAA is that actually the players in the NFL or the NBA, they're actually getting paid to do what they do. You know what I mean? That is my big issue with the NCAA and all these college teams and March Madness. You know, I like watching it. You know, those youngins look really good. You know what I'm saying? They look happy. They look like they're having a ball. You know what I'm saying? Doing their thing. But, you know, looking at the whole construct of everything, man, it's a screw over. It's a screw over.
Okay.
I got to disagree. But, hey, you know, it is what it is.
I mean,
everybody has a different viewpoint. And that's why we're starting a magazine, so that we can have these viewpoints expressed and everybody knows what we think. The magazine will be coming out.
You mean everybody knows what you think?
You want to talk about that magazine real briefly, Mr. Gardner, or what?
Yeah, I'll talk about it real quick.
Sure.
We're still working on a name for this magazine. I have one in mind, but I want to talk to everybody involved and get some input. But it might be two magazines. One will focus on FSP, which is Fantasy Sports and Politics. And the other will be more of a feminist type magazine with my wife and Kim working together on some social issues and female perspective of things and stuff like that. It's designed to take our message from just Blog Talk Radio to the reader. It will become an app. We'll sell it in the apps, where you can just, download it, and it updates every, I don't know if we're going to do it monthly, if we're going to do it bi-weekly, but I'm guaranteed it monthly, so we'll have more content. But it'll involve us, the people that are on Fantasy Sports and Politics, expressing our viewpoints on different things, whether it's at an event that we go to, or whether, like, it's Jerry discussing his angst about doing a bracket, you know, why he feels that the March Madness was going to be so chaotic, and giving his viewpoint on those things. Or it might be Black going to one of the events and doing a report on that. It's an informative magazine that's a little different than what everybody else has. A lot of folks didn't understand why we have fantasy sports and politics. Why do we have sports and politics intermingled with our shows? Well, if you've listened to the shows over the years, you realize sports is very political. It's
absolutely
political. Whether you want to see it or not, it's very political. And we have a niche. Now, how many people jump on it? I don't know. That's where we're taking this thing, and it starts with the website, the show, and a magazine application that we're trying to develop and get it out there as soon as possible. So be on the lookout for it. Once I get a name, start getting those articles, look for it.
Yeah, since I just been talking to you, I have a name that I'm going to text to you right now of you may want to think about. The name of the magazine.
Well,
I just texted
it to
you.
Okay, one thing. I was reading an email from Kim, and she made a good point that we all need to have a conference call. However, I don't know how to get you, Jeff, Black, Mac, her, and me on the same line at the same time where I'm at. You know, it's like I barely have time or connectivity. However, I think that's something we need to do. I mean, I'll send emails back and forth and text back and forth if I can, but the internet extremely limited for me. But we'll nail something down soon.
I got a name.
Oh,
for
Lord.
WATV.
What the?
No. World According to Victor.
Oh, come on,
but it's
man.
Not World According to Victor. and Jerry, so and I'm slamming him.
Oh,
but
come
no,
on, Mikhail. You gotta give him a break a little bit. A little bit.
I can't give him a break, man.
Okay.
You
okay.
People.
Well,
you
family, so I can't get into that. You family, so.
Hey,
Jerry, I can't get into that.
I mean, you hear him? I mean, he already here talking crazy. I gotta straighten him out. Try to help him out.
There's two things I want to come out and say that you posted on the Facebook, Mr. Gardner. I got to give you props, even though it would have been better if we could have seen your face on this picture of you in your Army Robo soldier gear. but I got to give you props because that's something that you should be proud of. This looks like something new and innovative that you're doing, and I got to give you props for that.
I didn't know it made it to Facebook. I was posting some stuff because where I'm at, we have some stuff I'm trying to get disseminated throughout the world, but I just got pulled off of one project and put on another project, so I don't know how soon I'll be able to do it. But thank you very much. I'm trying to get some stuff done while we're here. Three more weeks.
And this other thing that you posted, which is a shame, which is typical of what happens to a child of someone that's famous in the entertainment field or whatever field you want to talk about.
Ric Flair?
Say the fifth. Reed Flair, son of Ric Flair, who happens to be a very famous wrestler. At 25, was found dead in a hospital, in a motel or hotel, whatever, in North Carolina. That's a shame. 25 years old. Tons of time of life left to live, and it's cut short.
But, you know, it hasn't been stated what was the cause of death, but the fact that he's a wrestler, he was into wrestling. They're going to link it somehow, some way, to performance-enhancing drugs and how wrestlers continually die young from the abuse of prescription drugs and performance-enhancing drugs. Now, I'm not saying I wish it was a murder or something like that, but I hope it's not linked to anything performance-enhancing drugs-wise because Ric Flair, he didn't do that. He did cocaine, but he didn't use any performance-enhancing drugs. And I would hope his sons, because he has a son, David Flair, as well, who's a little older, that's in the wrestling business, and they're, you know, Flair has several children, and he's still out there wrestling. So it's a crushing blow, you know, to have him have to suffer through this.
Well,
I think it was his youngest son.
This son had the same type of problem that the Andy Reid problem had.
Got it.
So supposedly he was fighting that addiction, and it may have been the contributing factor to what happened. Like you said, the article I read that you have posted didn't go into detail because there was no details to go into quite yet, but You have to bring that to an account because he had issues in the past and was arrested for possession of that said drug. So, I guess in the coming days and weeks, we'll find out what exactly, or maybe we won't find out what happened to that young 25-year-old. Unfortunately, his life was cut short, and it just goes to show you that just because you have fame and fortune, or your family has fame and fortune, doesn't mean if you don't take care of business and keep your head on your shoulders right, you won't be a living a long, fruitful life. So.
Yep, that's true.
So,
money can't buy you, but
so
much happiness.
Exactly, and it can't buy you health either. It can help you try to get healthy, but if you have health issues because of you abuse your body, all the money in the world won't help you. We're halfway through this show because the show is going to be an hour today because I have to go somewhere after 2 o'clock. So the number to call is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the number to talk if you want to call. If you want to talk to any of the three that's on the line, it's me. Happens to be JT, a.k.a. The Master. Happens to be Vic Gardner, who is the papa of this show and other shows that we run on this Blog Talk. And his cousin, Mikal, who also has his show on Wednesday, Grown Soul and Real Talk.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday. No, just Wednesday, right, Mikal? Or is it Tuesday and Wednesday?
Yeah, just Wednesday.
Just Wednesday.
Just Wednesday.
And 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And just what it says is just what it is, Grown Soul and Real Talk. All right. Let's go to this way. We were talking about college basketball, and one of the things I wanted to talk about, because this just came to light and I didn't know it. In the other bracket, in the southern bracket, which is going to be played tomorrow afternoon about close to this time, around 2 o'clock, is the Florida, number 3 Florida, against number 4 Michigan. Number 4 Michigan is trying to repeat what happened several years ago when a said guard called Ramil Robinson took his team to the championship a few years ago. Well, that same Ramil Robinson is watching the NCAA tournament from prison.
What?
Listen to this article, because I'm going to read this article to you. You guys probably didn't notice, and I just happened to see a little thing on it, and I opened the article up and couldn't believe it. The last and only point guard to lead the University of Michigan to a national championship sits behind the high fences and razor wire of the Federal Correction Institution here, which is in Oakdale, Louisiana, a joyless expanse of turf carved out of the woods in the rural flatlands of central Louisiana. Ramil Robinson will spend this weekend, like every weekend these days, in the Humboldt Rapids 1 housing unit watching college hoops on TV. Some 360 miles northwest of here, a little more than 5 hours by car if you avoid the speed traps outside Glamour, the current Michigan point guard, who, like his predecessor, is a bit over 6 feet, tough and talented, has gotten the Wolverines to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament for the first time in nearly two decades. I story mindful of past ones. Trey Burke will spend this weekend, or at least Friday night, in the opulent confines of Cowboy Stadium playing college hoops on TV. This is a quote from Ramil Robinson. Trey Burke is a great player. Yes, I know about Ramil Robinson, says Trey Burke. I have seen those free throws. And everyone knows those free throws. Burke has never met Robinson and isn't an expert on his game, career, or life, but he knows, if nothing else, about those free throws. 24 years ago, Robinson hit two that rank among the most clutch in the history of basketball. Sent to the line with 3 seconds remaining in the overtime of the 1989 National Championship game in Michigan, trailing Seton Hall 79-78, Robinson stared down immense pressure and drained a game-tying shot. Not just drained it either, but drained it perfectly, just the slightest graze off the back of the rim before rippling the net. Moments later, he did it again for the national title. Today, Robinson is not big time. His world far bleaker and monotonous. The pressure of prison is far greater than some foul line. He's serving a 6.5-year sentence for 2010 conviction on bank bribery, wire fraud, conspiracy to commit bank fraud, and making a false statement to a financial institution. He was found guilty of fraudulently borrowing more than $700,000 from an Iowa bank. He still owes $1,184,615 in restitution. There aren't any shining moments at FCI-Oakdale, one of the toasts of his sport. He's little more than a federal inmate, number 82671-004. Robinson, 46, doesn't play basketball. He stays in shape mostly by taking long walks in short spaces round around the yard, nowhere to go. Ramil Robinson, 46 years old, won the national championship in 1989, and now, from a conviction of 2010, is serving time in Louisiana for a 6.5-year sentence. Anybody want to comment? I'll go to Vic first.
I had no idea about this goes back to that ESPN 30 and 30 series that he did,
right,
about all these high-level, high-profile players,
right,
that make money but are now broke. And Ramil Robinson wasn't, you know, such a high-profile player in the NBA, but if you think about the fall that a lot of these kids have, you know, they get all this money once they hit the NBA. Their career lasts, what, 6 years? No, 3 years on average, 6 or 7 years if you're decent, and a little longer if you're exceptional. You have very few that invest well and spend their money wisely and say no to their family members and say no to their friends to make sure that their family, that their, you know, their close family is taken care of. And they get labeled selfish. They get labeled all these types of things. But they're being smart because they don't want to end up like this guy who's embezzled, or not embezzled, but who fraudulently borrowed $700,000 and now he owes over a million and some change. I'm like, Jesus, what did they compensate on it? But, you know, you look at the Michigan team now, you got Tim Hardaway Jr. on it, Glenn Robinson Jr. on it, a couple other children of some of these stars. Barry Larkin's son, a baseball guy, has his son starring at the University of Miami as a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying these guys were selfish. I'm not saying these guys were giving away their money, but they made smart decisions, and they helped their children make smart decisions. This guy is sitting in prison for 6.5 years for something that could have been avoided had he worked more on his craft as opposed to living that lifestyle. A lot of people will say, well, they grew up with nothing, so once you give somebody that don't have nothing, they act stupid. Okay, that's fine. But at some point, we can talk about Allen Iverson. When we had Stephen A. Smith come on and we asked him about Allen Iverson, he said he loves AI. He's stupid. He spent his money wrong. He gave money to people that he wasn't supposed to give it to. He did dumb things. He was laughing with the reporters, that whole practice thing, and not understanding that the reporters were laughing at him, not with him. You know, that's the mentality of these players that come out that, you know, they get all this money once they leave college, and they just spend it because they don't know any better. And when somebody tries to educate them, like John Thompson, oh, well, okay, thanks, but whatever. I'll listen to you for a minute because you got me here, but once I go on my own, I'm going to do my own thing. You know, I feel sorry for him. And this story might get a little steam if Michigan gets to the final two or even the final four. But other than that, it's just another case of an athlete who knew how to play basketball, got an education of sorts, because I don't know if he finished college or not. And then he decided once he hit really, really hard, he needed to find a hustle. So he went and did the bank thing. It caught up to him. And any stardom he had in the past that would have got him out of trouble before, you ask kids nowadays who like Danny Ainge is who was another key role player, like B.J. Armstrong. You know, you ask them who they are, they remember Jordan, because Jordan's still making money. You ask about Kevin Johnson, only people in Phoenix really going to know who he is, or in San Diego, because he's the mayor of San Diego. You know, these players are good players, but if they don't invest their money right, they're going to end up in the same type of position of making a choice to go down that stupid, dumb path or find a way to become a regular person again. And it's hard for them to do that because they get spoiled and they don't know how to deal with it. So I don't feel sorry for the guy. I really don't. I mean, that sounds cold and calculated, but I really don't feel sorry for him. He made the conscious decision to do something stupid. He got caught. Now he's going to pay the price. And the story might come up and be a little more of interest if Michigan hit the Final Four or the Final Two or the championship game. That's what I got.
Mikhail, you want to comment?
No, not really. Okay. I don't know who this dude is.
Wow, really?
I don't know who this dude is. I don't know what the situation is, so I really don't want to mix it up with Cuz on it. But a lot of that stuff, I don't agree with the way he said it.
Oh, wow. Well, let me put it this way. He was the 10th pick in the 1990 draft. He played in the NBA for about 6 years. He played pro ball for about 12 years.
Who did he play for? Who drafted him?
I can find out real quick for you who drafted him.
I believe it was the Nets. I believe he got drafted by the Nets, or he got drafted by it was one of those weak teams back then. I remember that much.
Man. Yeah, one of them off-brand teams. No.
Yeah. Well,
late 80s, early 90s. I was only paying attention to the Bulls, the Lakers, and the Wizards.
He was drafted in the 90s, and I remember him because he was drafted by the Hawks. 10th pick for the Atlantic Hawks. He played for the Hawks.
And at the,
he did play for the Nets. He played for the Hornets. He played for the Portland Trailblazers. He played for the Lakers. He played for the Suns. So
And his name is what?
Ramil
Robinson. Rumeal. Google him, and you'll get
Ramil
the story.
Ramil Robinson.
Yes, you get the story that I got, and I'm telling you, if you read this article, you would have to agree with what Victor has to say, because this guy had he made millions, and he blew his NBA millions, and he missed this through wasteful spending and taste for high-priced toys. And I'm reading this strictly from the article.
Mm-hmm.
And his attempts to become a businessman after basketball, notably his plan to open a resort and casino in his native Jamaica, unraveled and led him to where he's at now.
Is he from Jamaica?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yes. So, and if you read this article, it's on, let me see, where is it at? I think I got this from it's on Yahoo Sports. So if you read this article, you'll understand. And I have to agree with Victor that he doesn't take responsibility, if you read the article, for what he done, because the fact is he dragged his stepmother into putting up her house, and the house eventually went into foreclosure. So she's living in a smaller apartment in the Boston area. So not just affected Ramil, it's affected someone very close to him, which happens to be his stepmother. So and he doesn't take responsibility. He's blaming everyone else but himself. So The article is a very good article. Like I said, I wasn't going to read the whole thing. I had to read it, the most important parts I thought of. It was noteworthy. That's why I wanted to bring it on, since Michigan happened to be trying to get to the championship. And this is the last time Michigan won a championship, back in 1989, which is 24 years ago. We'll see what happens and see how far they can get, if they can get past Marquette they're playing? Who are they playing? Who are they
Michigan,
playing?
I think they're playing Florida.
Florida, yes. I'm sorry. Not Marquette. Florida, yes. Yes. So I wanted to get that out and get your guys' opinion on it. And quite naturally, just like when I mentioned it, you guys really didn't know about it. Neither did I until I happened to see the article. So it is what it is. Just a typical story of another fallen athlete. And it happens, and it seems like it's happening. You don't. And the thing about it is this. And we got 15 minutes left in the show. And the thing about it is this. How many baseball players compared to football and basketball players do you see having issues, financial issues? Not to say that they don't, but it seems like if the NBA and the football players seems like more and more of those stories you hear about them blowing millions and being out destitute or having financial issues or because of their lack of income, do things to put him in jail or put him in situations, and just like in God Bless His Soul, talking about Ray Williams, ex-Nick, that was at one point homeless down in Florida. He just recently passed away, and it happens to be 56, 58 years old, somewhere around what I am. It's a shame. All I can say is it's a shame. And why is it that it seems like it happens more and more to basketball, football players versus players in other sports? I'm going to get Macau first, and then we go to Vic.
Yeah, man, it does seem. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, you could go a lot of different ways with it. You know what I'm saying? I know that there are plenty of the brothers from the Dominican Republic that have made some money, and I know a few of them that are destitute as well. However, in the NFL, that don't take all comers. I mean, you can look at Mark Brunell, or you can come right back over here and look at the brother Dexter Manley. I mean, it take all comers. All comers. You can look at him, or you can look at John Riggins. All of them. I mean, that dude was staying at a storage place. Oh, my goodness. But basketball troubles me the most because, of course, it is a sport that is dominated by African-American males, and it seems like a lot of those African-American males are not just being used and tossed aside, and once they finish using them, and once they finish doing with them, these boys don't develop the skills to survive on their own. You know, they thought that hustle was going to last, or they thought that they were going to be able to use that to continuously, you know, feed them, or they weren't thinking that way. Either way, you know what I'm saying? They never had the skills or was equipped with what they needed to be equipped with. That's the part that I see constantly. And it's a vicious cycle. It keeps happening over and over again. And now we've gotten to the point that now we've become so numb and we don't even want to hear it. We just looking at situations now and just saying, wow, you know, well, that's on him. He had a chance. He had the money to do this and had the money to do that. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe I just think a little bit longer.
No.
Maybe I have a bigger view of things, but you know, it wasn't like this, man. It wasn't like this.
Vic?
All right. I'll say this. I'll compare the two sports. I know we don't have much time, but I'll compare the two sports. Baseball, you can get drafted fresh out of high school. You know, fresh out of high school, you can go straight and play in the major leagues. A lot of parents don't like that because they want their children to get the exposure of college and living their life. So let's say the kid gets drafted out of high school. He goes straight to the minor leagues. He gets that big money, but he has to stay in the minor leagues and earn his stripes before he gets called up. We use Bryce Harper, for example. You know, Bryce Harper, kid was a monster, you know, went to the minors for a little bit, came up to the Nationals, made big noise. Now he's the next best thing since sliced bread, and he's supposed to have a great year this year. Okay, so they developed him a little bit. Money-wise, he was still a minor, so his parents had to monitor the money. You don't have a lot of kids in basketball or I want to say football that have parents like that. So it's incumbent upon the player, once they make that leap to the NBA or MLB or whatever, to manage their money. I'll give you an example of Brandon Whedon. Brandon Whedon left high school, went and played professional baseball. Turned out, I think he played for like 4 years or so. Turned out he wasn't going to do well. Went back to college, went to Oklahoma State, became a number one overall pick, isn't in Cleveland. So this kid has money. His parents still help manage his money, whatever the case may be, because he's still a MLB, Major League Baseball player, just in the minor leagues. Came back, has a bit of sense. He's a little older, but he's more mature to the world and the way it works. Now, if you want to go to on the aspect of ethnicity or race, basketball and football are two things. There's a mandatory amount of time you got to spend in college before you can go join either one of them.
Right.
Baseball, there isn't. The best players in baseball are the ones that go to college and stay several years or for their full 4-year degree. They get exposed to the economics of the sport as well as to the world. But in basketball and in football, as my cousin said, sometimes they get used just for their sport. A lot of folks don't pay attention to whether or not they're getting their education, because financial management is one of the classes that every athlete should be mandatory to take. They should have to take financial management. I mean, it's a business class, but it should be used for every athlete that's attending your university. These kids don't look at it like that. They look at it as the matter of, well, you know, I got this talent, I'm going to go to the NBA. Steve Smith said it, I think, when Florida goes to Georgetown. It was like, how do you feel, how do you think those kids feel about playing their last game, da-da-da-da-da. And he was like, well, you know, for me, I wasn't worried because I knew I was going to the NBA. You know, so I didn't miss college that much. But those other guys, that was the last time they're going to play college basketball or play any type of professional basketball or on that level. You know, these kids, they're not thinking that way. They're thinking about getting that suck and making it big. They're not thinking about the future. Like my cousin said, thinking forward. Not everybody has that mentality. And therefore, when you surround yourself with folks that have the same mindset as you or have the same goals as you do, all they're looking out for is, well, you know what, that's my homeboy. I hooked him up when he was XYZ. Now it's his turn to pay me back. Then they get stuck in bad situations.
Well, you have to think this too. You know, you get an agent. This agent is supposed to, and I'm in quotation marks, supposed to, along with a lawyer that you hire to take care of you and guide you in the right direction. And also, there's dozens of horror stories in both sports, NBA and in football, that can be thrown in front of this guy, whoever this guy is, and saying, don't let this happen to you. They may have thought the same things that you were thinking, but you got to think about life after the NBA or life after football, because the fact is, I know you're 20 years old or 23 years old now, but believe it or not, your career can end in one split second, and you're not going to be doing this forever, even if you don't sustain a major injury. And your career could be over at the age of 30. So if you're in there 7 years, you probably outlasted a lot of players that have played in the NFL for sure. And probably, I'm not exactly sure what the average lifespan of a person playing in the NBA now. It's got to be about 4 or 5 years.
Three years. But remember when we had Brian Spector on and we had Lee Steinberg on? That's exactly what they talked about, how they try to take care of their players. Because I asked the question, you know, what about these guys after their career? What are you advising me? And Lee was like, well, I tell my guys to invest and do this and do that and monitor the money. And he's the one that made that point that the hardest thing any person has to learn how to say is no.
Right.
Because if you say no, that means you're not putting your money out there for somebody else to squander and leave you destitute when it's time, you know, to have some return on it. You know, like when I asked Brian Spector about Tyron Mayhew, he was like, yeah, he's a good actor. He made some mistakes and da 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 da. What happens, like, 2 months later? He's representing the guy, you know?
Right.
He's trying to, you know, get this guy in the NFL. It's a big ticket for him, and I hope Brian comes back on the show. But, you know, how is he going to set Tyron up if he doesn't make it? You know, they're projecting him at the third and fourth round. But what happens if Tyron doesn't get picked to, like, the sixth or seventh, and because he's not that exceptional of a quarterback, that he gets cut? You know?
Well, yeah, that's true. You're right. You're absolutely right. But the scenario I'm laying out here is a guy that makes it, gets drafted, or they're playing in the league, a young guy. They get drafted and playing in the league. And all these horror stories from ex-NBA players that are destitute, that homeless, that lost all their millions because of saying yes instead of saying no when it, and they should be saying no to whoever they say no to. It has to be, I can't believe, because it's becoming more and more prevalent that these guys that are losing all their millions is out there. That when, how can you go into the league and not be aware of what's happened of guys that left the league years later?
If you don't know, Jerry, you don't know. If you don't know, you don't know. And then, you know, a lot of these kids, you know, this is all they have. All they have is the jump shot. That's it. They don't even have no good clothes or no decent sneakers and whatnot. I mean, and it's more and more prevalent. You know, you got the youngin' down there in Baltimore shooting the daylights out down there. But, you know, you take a look at his family, man, they ain't got nothing. When they did the interview on his mother and father, they was just like, yeah, we hard-working folks, you know, doing whatever we got to do. You know, I got a shift or whatever. So we switch up shifts and all that kind of paranoia. And I'm like, y'all switching up shifts? How do you deal with that? You know, and like I always say, man, it's always the system in my part, in my view. It's always the system. It's always how they exploiting and how they gaming on them youngins. They've been gaming on them for a long time, and then they just wind up crapped out. That's the whole thing. That is the whole thing in a serious nutshell. They wind up crapped out. They wind up destitute because they don't know. You know what I'm saying? If you only got one shot and only one thing, and your mindset is just going after whatever you can get. You know what I'm saying? How do you know?
But Mike, the question becomes, when does that player or that athlete decide to take responsibility for what they now have? They didn't have nothing, but now they got something. So now it's time for them to take responsibility for what they have.
If I ain't
that's
never
type of system,
had nothing, Victor, how am I going to know how to deal with what I have if I ain't never had nothing?
But then you try your best to become educated, because if you hear all these stories, you see these things going on.
See, here we go with this.
You educate yourself, man.
I understand where you're coming from. You know what I'm saying? The words that you're speaking, is you're preaching to the choir. And you're louder and more. But you're not going to get through to them youngins saying that.
They don't know.
They not hearing that. They is not hearing that. They are not hearing that. And, the, and and the NBA, the NFL, the NCAA, the MLB, all of them, they don't care. Because you know what they want? They want their bottom line pocketed, period. That's what they about.
All right. Last thing, because I know Jerry got to go. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let y'all think about it, because I thought it was really impressive and really important. A couple years ago when Chris Carter was at the NFL Symposium for the Rookie, there
right.
was one of the high-profile players, I think it was Aqib Talib, who was asleep during his part. He woke
mm-hmm.
Aqib up and said, "You're the reason why I'm here today, because I don't want you to make the same stupid mistakes I did when I was in the NFL and I did da-da-da-da-da. I got a second chance, da-da-da-da-da." Aqib did not listen. What happened? He got caught up in some charges. He got sent from Tampa Bay to New England, and now, you know, I think New England let him go. But same type of individual who came from the bottom, you know, they showed him when he was getting drafted and how he was disappointed that he didn't get picked in the first round, da-da-da. And when John Gruden called him, he was all excited, and da-da-da-da-da. But it's amazing how you say these kids don't know. Kids know because they get taught. NFL anyway, I don't know about NBA and stuff like that.
Some punk ass seminar that's every sitting there and gonna teach you? Some classroom that you're going to teach you finance is gonna teach you? Really?
They
don't care. Why am I gonna care if I don't have nothing?
Who then responsibility is it if you don't care? Whose responsibility is it?
Hold on. Here we go with this. You know, you're not getting the point I'm trying to make. You keep telling me, you keep, you know, harking it back to me, whose responsibility is it? Ultimately, it's theirs. I know that. They should know that, but they don't. They don't care. You know what I'm saying? And then if it's something that's constantly happening, Vic, if it's a pattern that keeps continuing, you know what I'm saying? The definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect something different.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
They've got numerous seminars. You've had numerous players come out and talk to these youngins, and it's still going on. It's still happening. That's my point. It's still going on.
I got that. I got it. But you said ultimately it's the system's fault.
Yeah.
You said it's the system.
Ultimately it's the system. Because the system is not set up for them to make it like that. You gotta play the game. You gotta play the game the way the game is set up, right? But if you don't know the game, you know what I'm saying? And never had anything to get in the game for, except for that wicked jump shot or that ability to catch the ball or that ability to come after and tackle a quarterback to get people in the seats to pay for it. You don't care. You don't care.
So,
you ain't about that,
let me ask you this. There's a rumor that Javon Clowney was going to sit out this year in South Carolina so he doesn't get hurt and become the, like, number one or number two overall pick next year. People said that was selfish. Some people said that was a smart business move. Some people said that it's never been done, or it's been done, but the people that they brought up were like Maurice Claret and Mike Williams. So this is a business move, right? This kid is trying to protect his assets, which is tackling the quarterback, rushing the pass and stuff like that. Now, never mind the fact that he's costing the school money because they give him a scholarship to play football. Now, he hasn't said that he's not going to do it or he's going to sit. That's the rumor. So that's playing the game and learning how to protect your assets and being smart about things. Do you think that's the right thing for him to do?
Well, I don't think in the first of all, I don't think if he's under scholarship that he can actually sit out if he's healthy. I would think that'd be kind of like a breach of your scholarship for one thing. You got to play for your scholarship. So how can you, if you're a healthy player, sit out the whole year because you want to be able to go to the NFL healthy? I don't understand that. I can't even fathom something like that
happens. That were going around.
I think it'll be a hell of a business move if he decided to do that. See, you can't see that, and that's the thing. The system gets you to think or not to even think that it's okay or that it's not okay. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He got to play for a scholarship for what? For what? Why he got to play for that scholarship? For what? If this is a business move and this is what he do, he should do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but if
yeah,
you know,
but
you know what I'm saying? If he decide to play, that's on him.
Yeah, but
that's
the premise of him coming to school, the school, it was a give and take. The school is giving him a scholarship, and he's taking that scholarship, and he's playing football because the school is giving him a free ride to play. I mean,
correct.
For school in order for him to play. So
right.
if he's not playing, how can he justify accepting that scholarship for that year and staying in school
correct.
With a free ride for
his
academic?
He don't have to accept the scholarship.
Correct.
You don't have to accept the scholarship, Jerry.
No, so what happens?
Hold on,
so,
Jerry. The transaction between the school and the student is just it's over. It's just about over. I mean, because this youngin is in position to be the first overall pick, either this year or next year, he can leave. Our transaction is done. As the player, I don't owe y'all nothing. I played, you know what I'm saying? And now I'm in position to get myself more money. That would be a good business move for him. But I would understand it if he went either way. Me personally, I'd stick it to the school. I'd stick it right to him. I'd sit right out and become top five,
wow.
top ten, whatever next year. I'd stick it right to him.
But why would you do
that
to the place that gave you a scholarship to get an education and play the game you love and develop your game? Why would you stick it to him?
Because they sticking it to him. You know what I'm saying? Don't act like they did something so beautiful and wonderful for him, because they damn sure got something out of him. They damn sure got something out of him. I mean, that good old boy Steve Spurrier, you know, he damn sure got a big nice face out of. I ain't see him go not one quarterback yet.
Yes.
Well, you know,
I understand exactly what you're saying, but so you're saying to me that if he decides to sit out, he's walking away from the school. Because I mean, he can't go to classes if he's not fulfilling his part of the scholarship by playing football. Am I right about that?
Right,
that is
you're
correct.
Right about what do we? If he decides to sit out, what do we care? Why does he care?
Wow.
The next thing would be incumbent upon him is to invest whatever money he gets. He would have to.
Well, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about these players making business moves or business decisions for
mm-hmm.
their future. And that's why I brought Javon Clowney's situation up, whether it's true or not. You know, that's
see,
the rumor.
Hold on. You know you can't play both sides, Vic. You can't say that this is not a good business move if he set out. You know what I'm saying? He should go ahead and, you know, go to the school and go ahead and risk it all, you know, and you know, risk it all and have a chance to get hurt. And then on the same token, he come in, you know what I'm saying, play, you know what I'm saying, get drafted first round next year or whatever, and then wind up destitute. You know what I'm saying? Because he didn't make good business decisions. You can't have it both ways.
I didn't say he didn't have both ways. What I was saying is that, you know, if it were me, I would play. He's going to be a top 10 pick. Right now, he's projected to be one or two. Now, the reason why I would do it is because I have a sense of loyalty to somebody. Somebody thought enough of me to give me a scholarship so I can go play football. And at the same time, I'm getting an education.
Right.
This kid's not
exactly.
dumb. He was supposed to come on our show. I remember Black said it fell through or something like that. But he was supposed to come on our show and tell us what school he was going to. But it fell through. But the thing is, when you decide to – now, again, this is all conjecture and it's all rumor. But when you decide
I heard the same rumor.
To make the decision that, you know what, the best move for me is to make sure that my body is in tip-top shape and that I'm not hurt in any form so I can be a number one or number two overall draft pick. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Okay. But at the same time, you look at Willis McGahee, who had a pulled out on him, and he ended up blowing his knee out in the championship game. Still was a first-round pick, but he wasn't a top-round pick. And he got the insurance money. Got it. But these guys, these athletes, football, baseball, basketball, whatever, the business started when they started getting recruited to go to these colleges. That's when it started. And in order to recruit on the part of the school gives you a scholarship. You say, okay, fine. I'll come to school, I'll play, I'll develop, I'll learn, and then I'm going to leave. Then they hit you back like some odd years later saying, well, we need some money, so can you be a booster? So you give them a little bit of money. Got it. There's a cycle. But at the same time, when that school gives you the opportunity to get an education, what you do with the opportunity is solely on you. If you decide to get a dumbass degree in gym, I'm not saying gym is a physical education is a dumb degree. Don't get me wrong. But if you decide to get a degree in physical education, but you have no plans to be a PE teacher or anything like that once you finish your career, that's on you. If you get a degree, let's say in business,
everything that you just said, you can come back on the other side and say the same thing. You know what I'm saying? You've been in this neighborhood, you know what I'm saying, for so long. You know what I'm saying? You've been playing football, and you got all these people that's been, you know, been protecting you, and you know what I'm talking about, been protecting you because they think you cool or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then when you get on, they say, look, we protected you all this time now. We need you to do this and this and that. Where's your loyalty?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So well,
I agree with you 110% because that's when you learn to say no to both sides. That's why I brought Javon Clowney, because if he says no, he doesn't want to play, either his parents can pay for him to play, pay for him to continue his education in South Carolina, or he can go somewhere else and play or to get his education. That doesn't change the fact that he's still one of the best players in college football and possibly going to be the number one or number two pick overall in next year's NFL draft.
Right.
Saying for me, here's the difference, just to clear it up. The difference in my boys who were protecting me and a college that you know gave me the opportunity is this. The college didn't tell me to do something illegal. The college didn't tell me, hey, you know what, remember I bought you them sneakers.
I'm telling you to do anything illegal.
Well, listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, that you have some people out there that will say, hey, look, dog, I need this. Remember I got you them sneakers when you had those sneakers? All right, now you're going to buy me this. That's a different type of pressure than a college saying, well, you know, we gave you a scholarship, so we want
we
to
gave
stay.
You. You just used the words. We gave you.
On one side, if you tell the college no and you walk out, your ties are done. Like you said, the relationship is ended. But if you tell your boys no, or if you tell your boys I can't do it or something like that, then there's that stigma, oh, he's up. He's changed. He ain't with us no more.
The point I was trying to make to you is the difference between making a business decision, you know what I'm saying, for real, and being silly about certain things. Me personally, I think it would be silly for him to come back. Really. I think it would be silly for him.
I would knock him,
you know, I would understand, but you can't, there's no way that you could say that that's a business move. No way. No way.
It would be a good business move for him athletically.
Mm-mm.
But for me, it would question his loyalties. If I'm an NFL scout or if I'm an owner of an NFL team, I'm going to look at, oh, you know what? He decided the best thing for him was to leave that school and not play this year. I'll draft him, but when it comes time to repay him or give him a better contract, I'm going to tell him, and this is what they do. We all know that in every athlete, in every sport, this is what they do. I'm going to lowball him. And if he decides to leave, he decides to leave. But I got the best 3 or 4 years out of him while some other team is going to get, like, him going down from his peak. So then I
maybe,
not
maybe,
money.
Maybe, maybe
well,
going
that's like
down
Willis
from his peak.
Well, I'm saying that's just like Willis McGahee.
Well,
Willis
McGahee's a different story because he had a major knee injury and he wasn't the same as when he was before he got hurt. That's totally different.
That's true. But Jay, it's similar because he was a guy that was supposed to go high in the draft, supposed to go high.
Right.
Because of his knee injury, he went low, and then he had to fight for a job with Marshawn Lynch, which he eventually lost. Because I think 3 years after he was drafted, they drafted Marshawn Lynch out of Cal. So it was like, okay, well, we didn't spend that much money on him anyway. Let him go. We're going to get somebody younger, stronger, and better. So therefore, because, and this is where I agree with Mike, if he decides to leave South Carolina, you know, it becomes an issue of, well, I'm protecting my body. But then from the owner's standpoint, it becomes he has no loyalty. His only loyalty is to himself.
So?
Wait a minute.
It ain't like any team
any professional player is an entity within himself.
Exactly.
So, anything they do, when it has to do with whatever professional sport they deal with, they're protecting their asset, which is themselves first. Okay?
I agree.
Then they're going to show loyalty to the team, but they have to protect themselves first. Shop them services where they best fit. Their skill set. So, you know, every time these professional organizations and deal with free agents, they always come up with saying it's nothing personal. It's all business. It's a business dealing with a free agent. So it's the same thing. This guy. I understand exactly what you're saying, Vic. And I definitely understand exactly what Mikel's saying. Now, in my opinion, it's a good business decision. He got what he wanted out of the program up to a certain point, and so did South Carolina. So if he wants to decide to say, I'm sitting out because I'm protecting my future asset, that's a good business decision versus saying if I play and get hurt, my asset is not going to be as strong as if I didn't play and didn't get hurt, because I want to be able to maximize my asset to because this is going to be my first contract. So I want to be able to maximize my contract, my first contract. If he gets hurt, all that goes down the tubes.
You could look at Matt Barkley, you don't even got to get hurt. You got a bad season.
Well, he got hurt. He got hurt, and that killed him because he should have came out a year early. And that's the thing. If Javon Clowney had decided, you know what, I'm going to declare for the draft now, he will be the number one draft pick or number
he
two.
Couldn't.
Because
he could. He could.
Well, he's a sophomore.
Yes,
he's a sophomore,
yes.
Or is he a junior? Okay.
No,
so he has to wait to be a junior.
He has to wait to be a junior. That's why he couldn't come out this year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because he could have challenged. He could have challenged like Maurice Claret and Mike Williams did. But if he didn't, which he did not do, if he were able to do that, he would clearly be the best overall prospect in this NFL draft. Because defensive linemen and offensive are the top in this class. You know, his stock is so high right now that I wouldn't blame him if he decided to leave. But to season, if it were to be the case, to sit out the season and not play or give 100% because he's trying to protect himself, he can look at his classmate, Lattimore. Lattimore kept coming back injury after injury after injury, and now he's trying to fight to get drafted. You know, so he could be looking at that situation right there. And you never know. You never, ever know with a contact sport such as football, and people might just try to take his knees out and ruin his chances of being the number one overall pick. But the business decision, is, you know, am I going to take care of myself, or am I going to try to do other things? And that's what you're looking at when you talk to these people. I'm not saying that it's a good thing or it's a bad thing. I'm just saying when these kids come from nothing, and Clowney doesn't come from nothing. His family is decent. They're not extremely well off, but he's decent. But when you have these families and these kids that come from pretty much nothing, right? And you stick them in a situation where they start to have something, either they're going to appreciate what they have and learn how to keep it, or B, they're going to spend it frivolously and then be destitute and have like Ramil Robinson or somebody else, Dexter Manley or whoever, because they don't know how to maintain that lifestyle that they built up for themselves or to make better decisions. Now, if their agent screws them, their family screws them, somebody screws them, but they, in my opinion, because it's the way I think, they're the ones with the jump shot. They're the ones that can hit the ball 450 feet. They're the ones that can hit the three-pointer. You know, they're the ones that can hit the soccer ball, you know, all the way down the field to make a goal. They are the ones that need to take control of their finances and their lives. If you have the right person, whether it's your wife, your girlfriend, your mother, your father, your priest, whoever it is that can guide you down the right ticket. But then there are those that try that and get screwed over by these people like the Drew Rosenhauses and folks like that.
But then you have to educate yourself. You have to educate yourself. So you can see who's trying to screw you over and who's not.
Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens, he got screwed royally. And he blames Rosenhaus big time. Those two women that was on his reaction, he blamed them, even though they weren't spending his money. You know, they were working for him, trying to get him things, and he would repeatedly, you know, be like, well, you know, whatever the name was, he wouldn't be listening to him. He wouldn't listen to him. So, you know, he did what he wanted to do. He had four or five houses. They said, no, Terrell, don't buy the house, Terrell. He did it anyway. He chose not to listen. You know,
you can lead a horse to water, but, you know.
Correct.
The same analogy. You can lead a horse to water, but eventually, you got to make the decision whether you want to drink or not. So,
and that's my point. It's all on that individual.
Well, it's not all on them, but you got to take some type of responsibility, because I mean, it, the bottom line, it's your money. It's your money. So you just can't say throw your hands up or a blind eye and say, handle my finances. You got to be able to have some type of working knowledge or close to or something to say no. I don't want to do that. No, this doesn't sound right. And to make some type of business decisions. Otherwise, you're going to get if you're so naive, you're going to get somebody ripping you off and leaving you just like a lot of these players are, destitute, homeless, and doing illegal things to try to get by.
Get ready to close the show so you can go do what you got to do, brother, man. Make sure
let
you talk
say,
about
let me,
yes,
let me
yes.
One thing for
right.
y'all, for y'all, let, close it up. I'm going to leave it right here.
Okay.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. That's all I got to say.
Okay. And with that being said,
Martin.
I want what's that?
What did he say?
Anyway, with that
what
being
he
said, he said, all right, Martin.
Nah,
don't hate the player.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game. That's very real.
Well, it's very. You're right. Okay, Mikhail, we're going to get out of here. So, you want to promote your show on Tuesday? Some people are listening that may want to listen to you on Wednesday.
Yeah, hit us up Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Grown Soul and Real Talk. You can also check us out at www.grownsoul.com. And also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/grownsoul.
Mr. Gardner?
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to me, Mr. FSP. I'm the man, the master with the master plan. I have the ATM's PIN number. Even though the ATM don't spit out my money when he's supposed to, I know it's coming.
Stop hating.
I'm just waiting. I need it, bro. I've been bumming money since I've been down here, but it's all good. Faith or my trust in the system, and the system has failed me, so, it is what it is. But, look out for the magazine. It's coming out real soon. It's going to supplement these shows that we have. So please get it in, guys. Get it in.
Okay. And with that being said, tune in tomorrow to Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will be going over all the teams that I didn't go over because the teams that are in our league want me to assess what their teams look like. I'm going to break down each team and tell them where I think they're going to wind up from number 1 to number 12 tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think my show is going to probably run about 2 hours because I'm going to also go and break down the league that we're drafting in this evening at 6:30 on ESPN.
I forgot about that.
Okay, we're drafting 6:30 this evening on a head-to-head ESPN league. I think it's 8 to 10-team league. So I'll be breaking down that one also. And then tune in on Thursday, which we have another show, which is the FSP Crew Show. I'm the host along with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. And Macau joined us last week. Hopefully he'll stop in again and give us an insight to his knowledge of what he thinks about whatever we talk about on Thursday. And we'll have a special guest again, and I can't recall what the guest is, but it's going to be another guest that we're going to have next Friday. Mac is the host. I'll be the co-host of No Chaser, which is a talk show that is no holds barred. You bring it, we bring it, and wherever it happens, happens. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday. And then, like always, on Saturday, it's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be the FSP show. I'll be the host. Guys like Vic and Macau will jump in. Who knows? Anybody can jump in. Maybe even have a guest. You never know. With that being said, I want to thank.
I'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, soon, very soon. I'll be back. Ratings will go back up. Go back up.
With that being said, I want to thank you all for listening. And Vic, you know what time it is.
For my boy, JT ATM Money, I'm waiting for my money in my pocket, and my cousin, Macau, the poet, if you didn't know it, you've been listening to...
Fantasy, Sports, and Politics!
Get ready to rumble! You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy.